Welcome back to Forecast News with Millie and Afshin, where we give you the lowdown on what events and anniversaries are coming up around the world this week. Please subscribe if you're not already and let us know in the comments what you think of the events that we talk about. This is the final show for a few weeks, isn't it, Afshin? So the season finale.
Maybe for you.
Oh, aren't you away as well this time?
You know, it never stops, does it? Things never stop.
The stories never stop.
You know what we forgot to do, Millie? We got to two things, actually. First of all, why is it the number of people watching Forecast News goes up on Sunday night and Monday morning when the week has already been forecast by us? Is it because people are checking on whether our forecasts were correct?
I think so. I think we're being tested. We're being marked clearly on our accuracy.
And great comments on this week's show. Millie, we should really read these comments out. Maybe when we come back after the when you come back after the summer, we'll read out some of the comments. People debating, people saying I'm misogynist, that I talk over you. Lovely comments.
Well, perhaps we can highlight some. Of course, people don't know. Afshin and I have known each other for a very long time, so there's never any hard feelings, Afshin.
It's okay to be misogynist if you know the person. No,
it's all fine. It's all good.
That sounds really defensive. Before we even get on to Monday, I've got to say that the Chilean president is here in Dubai in the UAE, Gabriel Boric, celebrating economic ties between the United Arab Emirates and the left-wing run Chilean government, which now, of course, supports the memory of Salvador Allende overthrown by Kissinger, the CIA, and the economists that would build up Margaret Thatcher in the 70s.
Okay, so you'll be meeting him then, I presume, this week?
No, not really. For Monday then.
Okay, Monday 29th of July. Let's begin then. First up, I've got Japan, which is hosting the Quad Foreign Ministers. Sounds like a cool club, doesn't it? They kind of sound like a gang of superheroes, the Quad Foreign Ministers. But if you're wondering on who they are, that's Japan, India, Australia, and the US, of course. They're going to be, including, I'll say, Antony Blinken of the US, infamous Antony Blinken, who's actually on a bit of an Asia trip at the moment, isn't he? I think he's either been to or is going to visit Vietnam, Laos, Japan, the Philippines, Singapore, and Mongolia. But what do you think this Quad gang are going to talk about? I think the reproach of China is very much on the agenda. I think they're actually going to issue a statement later today calling for a free and open Pacific, whatever that even means. What does that mean?
Yeah, obviously, this is the U.S. war on China. It sees China as an existential risk to U.S. hegemony, the decades of U.S. Run empire and violence all around the world. So I don't know how Blinken got the time to immediately comment on the victory of Nicolás Maduro, the former bus driver, to a third term in the Venezuelan elections in the country with the largest known oil reserves on the planet. But he's in Hanoi, as in Vietnam. On Monday. So how did he have time to already be backing Elon Musk and saying the government of Venezuela must be overthrown, even though there were 900 election observers, international observers there? Britain, of course, and Western European countries still seemingly recognize a terrorist, Juan Guaido in Florida, as the president. But anyway, we'll have to see whether they try and overthrow the newly elected government this week. This Quad, of course. Yeah. I don't know what India is doing there. Jai Shankar having to play a very very tricky game, arguably, because if he's speaking to Japanese Foreign Minister Kamikawa, a kind of slave of the United States, of course, big demonstration still in Okinawa against the U.S. bases there, against rapes of Japanese women there. But you know, Lloyd Austin, the Pentagon guy, was talking about the placement of missiles and so much military expansion there to try and catalyze war with China. China's not going to have one, I don't think.
No, a lot of rising tensions with China we'll see throughout the week. But also, while Blinken is in Asia, then Joe Biden is meant to be visiting Texas finally to again mark the 1964 Civil Rights Act anniversary.
Who's Joe Biden? Sorry.
Joe Biden's still the president of the United States, at least while we're recording this show. Who knows what could happen in the next few hours. But he's finally visiting Texas, although this anniversary has been going on for about 6 months now, I swear. I think we've mentioned it every week. But he was, in fairness, meant to go to Texas a couple of weeks ago and didn't, apparently because of Trump's assassination attempt. But it could also be the fact that he's was almost overthrown and is now obviously not even running. In the race that hasn't yet resigned as president, but he's going to be going to the LBJ Presidential Library, and it's reported that he's going to announce a reform to the US Supreme Court whilst he's there, which I think includes endorsing term limits for the justices, an ethics code, and a constitutional amendment limiting presidential immunity. Why is he doing that, though, when he's on the way out? Surely this isn't going to help him. Is he trying to stop Trump by doing this? I don't know.
Basket case country, isn't it? And still, Biden administration officials had time to wrongly say that it was a Lebanese resistance missile that killed Syrians in the occupied Golan Heights, when, of course, most around the world and in the global south believe it to be the absurd Iron Dome Raytheon system that failed and killed so many children playing football in the occupied Golan Heights. I've been there on the border there. Biden administration officials saying Israel should attack Lebanon, or trying to say they shouldn't attack Lebanon. We don't know what the American position is, but no one is in control except maybe Blinken and Sullivan in Washington. So Biden in Texas, what is the point of that person? And he's clearly hated because Biden himself said he's not good enough to run for the presidency. So he's hated by the American public. What right does he have to wander around talking about the Civil Rights Act when he is infamous for his support for the mass incarceration of African Americans with legislation he supported? So what a failure of a presidency.
We still don't know if he's going to last his full term. I mean, I'm sure that won't be the reason, but we certainly don't know if he's going to resign. You were going to say?
It's the anniversary of the wedding of the Princess of Wales, Lady Diana Spencer, the old Princess of Wales, who wanted the banning of cluster bombs and mines, which are now being exported by Britain to the Ukrainian government today. And Prince of Wales, Charles, is now a king in Britain. And you never hear him say a thing about his ex-wife's campaigns on landmines and cluster bombs. It was a lot of people that watched that wedding. You weren't alive, were you, Millie? Nor was I. 750 million.
Okay. Well, on weapons and tech, are you going to be going to this SIGGRAPH 2024 convention? I know you're into your technology. This is the premier conference and exhibition on computer graphics and interactive techniques. It's held in Denver, in Colorado. It's the 51st conference of its kind. Meta's Mark Zuckerberg and NVIDIA's Jensen Huang are going to be speaking there. NVIDIA, by the way, is an AI company, American-based, and they're both going to be talking about breakthroughs in AI, so that's very fitting. Though I think there are over 100 very generous companies, which the SIGGRAPH website says have provided help through full conference supporter registrations and other forms of support, I assume financial. They include, but are not limited to, BAE Systems, Apple, Meta, Google, Nickelodeon, Walt Disney Animation Studios, Stanford University, Pixar, Nike, and many others. Are you going to this tech convention?
You said NVIDIA, which is a great share pick amongst most Wall Street analysts, because it's going to dominate AI, is American, but it uses the ARM chip, which has its roots in Britain, but Britain privatized it and lost all of its technological development that was happening as regards future technology. You mentioned BAE Systems. It was their bombs, of course, that are apparently Meta and some of these other social media firms mean that on Forecast News, I can't use certain words. So what do I say that BAE Systems does in Gaza and in Ukraine with those wearing the N patches on their sleeves, What do they say, Emily? What's the word?
People can read between the lines there. Maybe look at some past episodes and see. I think we get the picture. But I have to say, it is a very tech-heavy day because, meanwhile, Trump's new vice president, J.D. Vance, he's at the Palo Alto fundraiser. Palo Alto, which is a cybersecurity company in Silicon Valley, although its second biggest research and development center is in where? Tel Aviv, of course. And there are also dozens and dozens of jobs they're hiring for in Tel Aviv. If you head on over to their website, jobs.paloaltonetworks.com, we are not sponsored, but if you head on over there, you might be able to get a job. I hear it's a really good place to be right now, Tel Aviv.
I'm not sponsored. Are you sponsored?
I'm not sponsored.
Tel Aviv obviously has been threatened with utter destruction by the Lebanese resistance groups that say that should the British, European Union, US-backed Israeli government choose to violate Beirut, Tel Aviv will be completely destroyed. There was some piece about this, which, I mean, it's through the week, all this AI stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's this? AI breakthrough creates brains for robots. As you say, the close linkages to the defense sector, the wars in Gaza. I don't know why defense arms jobs haven't gone, arms shares have not gone up higher as these wars have been doubled down on by NATO governments outlawing negotiations. Maybe because they were expecting so much more killing to happen. But I know we have to go to Tuesday, don't we?
Yeah. Although they have gone up, I will say many of these arms companies are doing very well, albeit maybe not as well as
you. Really? Well done. Well done for you. I noticed the shares. I noticed Bitcoin went down as Trump talked about Bitcoin. But certainly Trump, J.D. Vance, very clearly saying and signaling they will bomb Iran, create war on behalf of Israel. Of course, Miriam Adelson is the financier for Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. So, you know, if anyone thinks that Blinken, the Zionist, is alone in his support for the G in Gaza, and I don't mean the first letter of Gaza, the G as deduced by the International Court of Justice, plausibly. You haven't seen nothing yet when Trump wins in November.
Yeah, well, of course, we don't yet know what Trump will do, nor is Vice President Vance. We have a rough idea, but we don't know for sure. But Tuesday then, Tuesday, 30th of July, please do subscribe. On Tuesday, the Trump assassination attempt investigation continues. The Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs and the Judicial Committee are holding a joint hearing to look at the security failures on that day. Now, acting director of the US Secret Service, Ronald Lowe, will be there along with FBI Deputy Director Paul Abate. Now, we know US Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle resigned last week, who we were talking about. Maybe that's why. She did acknowledge that the Secret Service failed, which is a scary admission, I think, from the Secret Service. I think there are actually currently 36 people who are being protected by the Secret Service as it stands right now. Perhaps, though, they should be hiring some extra security just in case, wouldn't you say?
Cheadle, because she's so hated in the United States for her arrogant performance testifying in Congress.
Well, to protect the people who are apparently being protected by the Secret Service, all 36 of them, I'd say they should be a little bit worried.
I'd say, but then again, they're backed so to the, you know, fore by these big multinational companies. Maybe it's fine. I know you want to go on to other things, but I've got to say it's a big earnings day on Tuesday, July the 30th. Pfizer and Merck, Pfizer back. All these companies are essentially welfare queen companies. They're financed by governments. They're not really profitable without government subsidy. So Pfizer and Merck. I think there's a bit of Pfizer in me. I don't know whether there's Pfizer in you, Millie.
Probably.
Certainly, my heart isn't as good as it used to be because I took the vaccine. No, I'm just joking.
My heart's better, I think. So.
Your heart's better because of the vaccine.
Yeah.
And you're not getting Pfizer share inducements for that. BP, which, of course, was involved in the overthrow of the government in Iran. Starbucks suffering hugely from the boycott over Gaza and the war. I think the statements from the founder of Starbucks, Howard Schultz, I met him once. Diageo, company I've always been fond of, even, you know, I've always been fond of it. No, they're a drinks manufacturing company. They all those drinks that you see in bars under different names are meant to make you think they're individual different companies making these drinks. It's just one company. They make all of it. Mondelez, do they own Cadbury, Kraft or something? Procter & Gamble, L'Oreal, so much stuff. Prada Group, which is in Hong Kong for some reason. Why are all these companies doing it on the same day that the flash estimate for European Union GDP is out, showing deep trouble ahead for the Western European continent after its support for Zelensky?
What is this, the results that are coming out on Tuesday in relation to all these companies?
Yeah, those are results coming out for their second quarter, is it? Third quarter? Basically, it's the day that they will be publishing results. We're not telling you to invest in these companies, clearly.
But if you do have shares, you better look at the results and see what they're saying.
Buy the rumor, sell the news, as they say, isn't it?
Yeah. And perhaps some of those companies maybe funding the Democrat Party. Who knows? But they might be looking out for the deadline on Tuesday. The Democrat Party's presidential nomination. Candidates have to submit documents on Tuesday showing that they've met the necessary qualifications to be candidate. Of course, at the minute, the only candidate is Kamala Harris. Clearly no one brave enough to go up against her. We had suspected, though, in previous episodes that this Gavin Newsom could be a contender. I don't know what happened to him. I think maybe he's safer to accept Harris's offer for a cabinet position instead, maybe. But clearly, you know, no one's going against her, and she's could very well be the next president of the United States.
Playing the long game, maybe, the governor of California. But Kamala Harris in Georgia on Tuesday. And if you notice how she tries to imitate the inflections of American Southern state African-Americans. And in Georgia, I think in the Atlanta area, she's expected to be speaking. They're very wary about the security operation there. And no doubt she'll be trying to channel Martin Luther King Jr. in Georgia. Kamala Harris was attorney general in California, responsible, so her accusers say, of executing African Americans in order to advance her political career. The idea of her trying to channel Martin Luther King Jr. while she has supported policies, well, as regards foreign policy in Gaza, her cynical attempts to say she supported a ceasefire for 30 days, allowing the claps and applause at her rallies before she said for 30 days, because she is lock, stock, together with Israel. She is part of the G in Gaza. And of course, she supports the war on China, which Antony Blinken is in the Philippines with Lloyd Austin, the Pentagon Raytheon director, trying to make cash for when they lose the election, perhaps. Kamala Harris already said, though, that Blinken and so the reports say Blinken won't be Secretary of State in a Kamala Harris presidency. He certainly won't be if Trump wins it. Filipino counterparts Enrique Manalo, Gilberto Teodoro, they will be threatened by Blinken and Lloyd Austin to support U.S. policy in the South China Sea. Let's hope they can survive what threats against them daring, if they choose to, daring to defy U.S. foreign policy. What the Philippines must realize is if they continue the way they are, they will be a real flashpoint for disaster in the U.S. war on China.
Mm-hmm. Well, so Kamala Harris, then, a bit of a chameleon, you suggest. I'm sure she wouldn't put your analyses quite how you did it.
No chameleon, Kamala Harris, always consistently racist, is what her accusers say.
Okay. And as to Blinken, you say he's in the Philippines after his Quad foreign ministers meeting. But Australian Foreign Minister Penny Wong, who was also at the Quad gang meeting, she's in South Korea on Tuesday, speaking with her counterpart Cho Tae-yul. And that's a day after she's met with Blinken. As I said, Blinken, who recently was in Seoul, Now, this Penny Wong, she recently issued sanctions to North Korea after it sent arms to Russia, which it called illegal. And as we know, North Korea thinks South Korea and the US want to provoke a nuclear war. So no, what France, is she doing in South Korea?
France thinks South Korea is North Korea.
Yeah, as per the Olympics.
The wonderful Olympic ceremony. People think that it was Leonardo da Vinci's Last Supper. Of course, it was Bruegel's painting of Dionysus, so the detractors say. I think more interesting than the fireworks over Gaza and the EU, UK, US backed G in Gaza that continues all this week, and whether by Tuesday there will be war, wider war in West Asia, is the Delta Aquarid meteor shower.
Oh.
Which is on then.
Exciting.
So that'll be good. That'll be interesting. And Independence Day of Vanuatu from the UK and France Day. I mean, seriously, is Vanuatu a country? Vanuatu just does whatever the US does and says. All this part of this war on China. And it's clear China and Russia are getting closer and closer every day. There's a new statement from Beijing and from Moscow showing they're willing to fight for a change.
Mm-hmm. I think we also need to keep a list of all the proclaimed countries that you say aren't countries. We need a tally so people can know what's a country and what's not. Also in Tehran, the new Iranian president, Masoud Pezeshkian, is being sworn in. I know there was a ceremony on Sunday, but he's got an official inauguration ceremony on Tuesday where he's going to take the oath. He's been saying in the last day or two that he wants constructive engagement with the West and wants a friendly approach to all countries except Israel. What do you make of this? Is Iran going to be able to closen their ties with the US and the UK and all these countries, maybe actually, you know, develop a close relationship because of this new president? Could friendliness be on the cards here?
I know what the people of the southern suburbs of Tehran will regard as constructive engagement with those countries arming the G in Gaza. Their constructive engagement is people are fed up with Iran not backing the children of Gaza more and doing more to stop what's happening in Gaza and in Jerusalem. So if Pezeshkian thinks that constructive engagement means talking to those arming people dismembering the bodies of babies in Gaza. Do you see I said dismembering rather than the other word? I'm now realizing the algorithm. I've got contacting Meta about it. I've got different words now. Iran closer and closer to Russia and to China. You know, we have a block. Gramsci, of course, the man who said political block. We have a real block forming now against NATO nation foreign policy to prevent any Trump presidency declaring war on Iran, let alone the continuation of this catastrophic Biden presidency under Kamala Harris, arguably.
Okay. Obviously, some would say diplomacy is the best chance at peace and actually, you know, talking to and engaging with people who are doing things you don't like, conversations to be had.
That's illegal, of course, in Kiev, because Zelensky signed a law.
Well, although
it's illegal to negotiate with Russia.
Well, although even Zelensky is now saying he's open to peace talks with Russia in a few months. So, you know, maybe that is the only way forward. Spanish Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez is testifying against his wife in a Spanish court on Tuesday. We kind of mentioned this case briefly a couple of weeks ago. Basically, his wife, Begoña Gómez, is accused of corruption by using her position as the Prime Minister's wife to secure sponsors for a university master's degree course that she ran. She denies
it. There's drilling now going on here. Sorry, interrupt your Spanish.
I can't hear anything, but that's what it is. Now, Sanchez has to testify as a witness against his wife, although he claims this is part of a smear campaign and it almost led to his resignation back in April. Although we haven't heard much of this case around the world, have we, in the media? So I don't really know why that is.
Spain is just another. I mean, Spain's had historically was, of course, F. Can I not use the word F?
What's the word? People, we need a glossary or index.
People know the war in the 1930s, who the Republicans were fighting in Spain against the US-UK-backed F person.
Okay.
General Franco. But who was it? Anyway, so the you know, this Spain is now a colony again of the United States. Again? No, it used to be, used to have colonies in the United States. It clearly is part of that as regards foreign policy and the war in Europe. But I did enjoy the Olympic ceremony in Paris with the shock of watching, the shock on the faces of the Spanish royal family, long associated with Franco, on watching the beautifully created, recreated images of Marie Antoinette. You could see the blood in the veins of the neck and Marie Antoinette carrying her head. And then it cut away to the Spanish royal family. Clearly, still not comfortable with the 1789 French Revolution. Did you not think?
Yeah, very odd. Very odd.
What was that about? I thought that was excellent. I mean, I could have done with great pictures of Saint-Just and Robespierre, but they opted for Dionysus, obviously.
Okay. We better move to Wednesday.
Absolutely.
You ready? Wednesday, 31st of July. Now, the UNESCO World Heritage Committee in New Delhi is adopting its decision on new World Heritage Sites for this year and what heritage sites they deem to be in danger. This has been ongoing for a few weeks, actually. I don't think we've mentioned it. It happens annually. There are currently 1,199 World Heritage Sites worldwide.
Bombed by NATO. Sorry, did I interrupt?
What, by NATO?
Bombed by NATO. 1,000 how many?
1,199.
How many have been bombed by NATO or NATO weaponry?
Because not obviously, most of them, surely. Well, you mean you haven't got the list? If you're going to say it, we've got to provide it.
Britain and the United States and France were bombing UNESCO sites. In Lebanon, their armaments have been bombing UNESCO sites. In how many UNESCO sites have been bombed by NATO countries? Obviously, they've bombed so much in Iraq, in Libya. What was the old name for Libya? The priceless archaeology of Libya. So many of the UNESCO sites bombed by, we'll go on to the share price of BAE Systems later.
Oh, well, I don't know how many that were listed as in danger, because I think they're likely to add Stonehenge to the list of World Heritage Sites in danger because they're planning to build like a underground road underneath it. That's why it's in danger. Stonehenge, which for our international audience is that kind of historical rocky feature in England that we did mention a few weeks ago. People
rocky
like
feature. I think it was designed. Are you saying it was natural?
The rocky structure that people don't know how it was built, and that's the beauty of it. Hundreds of years.
Why did Britain allow a McDonald's? Have you been to Stonehenge in Salisbury?
No.
You've never been?
No.
Well, it's now by an underpass, and there's a McDonald's beside it. And, of course, Salisbury, from Stonehenge, where the Druids still go on Midsummer's Night to see the sun go through the two stones, is near British Army training ground where they train soldiers to go and fight for Zelensky against Russia, and Porton Down Chemical Warfare Lab, rumoured to have been the source of the poisoning of the Skripals, then blamed on Russia. This is all Salisbury happenings near Stonehenge. So it's a very strange and eerie place from where the world's chemical weapons, from where the world's wars fought by British troops and covert forces. 43 killed in Odessa, killed or wounded in Odessa, SAS and SBS. I'm really shocked about those figures not being reported. You obviously not.
Okay. Well, those Stonehenge revelations that you say probably won't be mentioned by the committee, but I'll just quickly add there are 27 contenders for new World Heritage Sites to go onto the list this year, some which include the Badain Jaran Desert in China, the Central Axis of Beijing, the historic town of Jedi in Kenya, Nelson Mandela legacy sites in South Africa, and quite a few others around the world and in several different countries. So we'll see what the decision is and
your apartment. your apartment up for that?
No, I don't think it's special enough.
Oh, that's sad.
It is sad. Maybe next year.
Do we even say subscribe? Wednesday, 31st of July is Warriors Day in Malaysia, commemorating all those servicemen and women mass murdered in the Malayan emergency by Clement Attlee's 1945 Labour government to fund the National Health Service, universal healthcare system in Britain, so some detractors say, because one of the first to act was to continue mass slaughter in what is now Malaysia, the British Labour government. And from there, they got huge revenues from rubber and so on. And that money was helped to use for universal healthcare in Britain, so some argue. But definitely there was a terrible G word in Malaysia. And Warriors Day is commemorated on the 31st of July in Malaysia.
Okay, very good. And also, Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni, Italy's Prime Minister, shall I say, is wrapping up her visit to China on Wednesday. She's been there since Sunday. She's already met with Premier Li Qiang and vowed to relaunch ties with Beijing. And they've just signed a 3-year plan to strengthen economic cooperation between China and Italy. And this is a year after she removed Italy from China's Belt and Road Initiative. She said it brought no benefits to her country. But she wants to increase cooperation. Why is she doing this now? Is rhetoric against China by the likes of the US and the UK has really ramped up. And after the Quad foreign ministers gang have met this week and spoken out against China, why is she kind of going against the grain?
And why does China trust her, given Meloni's clear servile status in the face of Washington? Italy is not, things are not good in Italy, are they? Clearly, a lot will depend on the tourism, but if you look at all the economic statistics coming from Italy, it's tying itself to Washington hegemonic power, not a good situation.
Perhaps so even weirder, I think Wednesday is the day Antony Blinken is going to be in Singapore as part of his Asia trip. He's going to meet with Prime Minister Lawrence Wong, along with the senior minister and foreign minister. Singapore, which is an ally of China, which the US seems to Singapore is sort of allied with China.
No, Singapore is a US proxy place.
Well, it's kind of a bit of both, isn't it? I mean, it kind of rejects.
How many US soldiers are in Singapore?
US ties, but obviously Blinken as well has said in the last few days, or he's called out the provocative military drills by China against one of what he calls provocative military drills. So is he kind of going there to work on Singapore against China?
You know Singapore has Changi Naval Base operated by the US Navy. Singapore is a complete client state of Washington. It has no autonomy, and if it ever threatened, U.S. interests would be attacked by the United States. It's difficult, isn't it? Because there's lots of huge Chinese population in Singapore. It's going to be difficult for Singapore in the future as the war on China by either a Trump or Harris administration goes up. So Singapore has what's the largest U.S. military base in Southeast Asia. It will be under attack from China in any response from the People's Republic to any violence committed by the United States. Not sensible, really.
Well, I suppose they're in a bit of a tricky situation then, kind of between China and the US. So
They have to make a choice. And I'm sure Giorgio Meloni will be hearing that too. You know, the kind of thing I'm talking about, I learned from Gore Vidal, who died in 2012 on Wednesday, the 31st of on the 31st of July. He's still mourned by people all around the world, one of America's greatest writers, historians of the United States. I remember him very well, interviewed him many times. Still sad about that. If Gore Vidal was alive, I think he'd be organizing a demonstration against the Brookings Institution. On the 31st of July at 11 in the morning when, who's Penny Pritzker?
Penny Pritzker. I was about to mention that.
So go for it. Who's Penny Pritzker?
Penny Pritzker, yes. Who is she indeed? The US Special Representative for Ukraine's Economic recovery. So she's hosting this discussion on the economic future of Ukraine in Massachusetts. But I don't really know what business it is of the United States, which is a completely different continent to Ukraine, and why they should care about Ukraine's economic recovery. A country that's already given billions of dollars to Ukraine anyway. So if anything, the US should be having a economic recovery plan, not Ukraine. So why is she addressing this US Institute for Government Research on...
Who is she, Millie? I've got her Wikipedia page up here. She was involved with the family business empire, the Pritzkers, Pritzker Partners, Pritzker Capital, Pritzker Realty Group, co-founder of Artemis Real Estate Partners, chair, board of Microsoft, chair of Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, or the G word, estimated worth $3.2 billion, one of the most 100 most powerful women in the world. That is Penny Pritzker organizing those with the N patch on their sleeves in Ukraine as the war rages on, as tens of thousands of Ukrainian troops are killed by Russia in the heart of Europe as the war continues with silence, radio silence from NATO nation media backing it, wanting the United States to take it over. The fact that Pritzker, since September 2023, is there as and at the same time is on the board of the Chicago Board of Education, the Museum of Contemporary Art, Chicago. Look at these rich people and how they are dominating policy for their own purposes. And if you look up Penny Pritzker, yeah, you'll see, in a sense, the death of U.S. empire in her biography, because people like that, arguably, are never going to enhance the United States' power around the world. The friendship with Barack Obama dates from the 1990s. Look up Pritzker and comment if you have any more on Penny Pritzker and what right she has for this. Although she was good on Cuba, that's about it.
Okay, well, probably not going to be mentioned at the Brookings Institution, all of that. But yeah, if you're there at the discussion, let us know how it goes.
Yeah, 1775 Massachusetts Avenue. Get down there, 11 in the morning on Wednesday. Donald Trump, though, first time he's going to be in Pennsylvania for an outdoor rally or an indoor rally at New Holland Arena since Pennsylvania let him down, arguably. Certainly security did, and someone tried to kill him.
Yeah, well, hopefully he's okay. A lot of rallies this week as well. Kamala Harris out on rallies, J.D. Vance, Trump.
You like J.D. Vance, the hillbilly, don't you? You're really a big fan of this man.
Who said, comment.
Yeah, exactly. Who said what? Women who don't have children are cat women. Do you have a cat, Millie?
Well, as he said, it was a sarcastic comment. everything can be excused when humor is involved.
Trump cast his opponent as far-left threat. That's in the Sulzberger. So in Pennsylvania on Wednesday, he'll be saying that Kamala Harris, this right-wing extremist neocon who has supported G in Gaza, who has supported the war with the ends in Ukraine, somehow Kamala Harris is on the left. What are they talking about? They're confusing left-wing with identity politics left and cultural ideas. And Adidas is reporting results on Wednesday, July 31st. Do you see all the stuff about Gigi Hadid? Adidas, clearly a G-supporting Gaza war accessory. Boeing, results on Wednesday, July the 31st. Boeing, we saw the bomb and all the heads in Gaza, Nusret refugee camp the other day. That's what Boeing does, results. You won't see
Boeing currently doing a plea deal as well, which we've mentioned in previous episodes.
Oh, civilian airliners. But Boeing's bombs are dropping on children in Gaza. Meta, the company that owns Facebook, which is censoring ruthlessly all posts that tell the truth about what's happening in Gaza, what's happening in Ukraine, what's happening in Venezuela, what's happening in Niger, they report results. Lufthansa, GSK, great medicine company, eBay, MasterCard involved in trying to censor different companies so that if you say certain things, you can't use MasterCard. How brilliant that the 31st of July is the anniversary in 1703 of Daniel Defoe, the great English writer and political satirist, being placed in a pillory for the crime of seditious libel. Today, NATO arguably murders journalists who it doesn't agree with.
Okay. Hopefully we're not two of them.
I love America. Thursday. Subscribe Thursday. Oh, no, do you have more on 31st?
No, I'm done if you are.
Giuliani bankruptcy proceeding.
Oh, yeah, who cares? No one cares.
You didn't believe him. I didn't believe him when I was interviewing Giuliani and he had a laptop from Hunter Biden and we thought he was talking rubbish and he wasn't talking rubbish. The mayor of New York, former mayor of New York, Giuliani, should be given some sort of medal for exposing how Joe Biden's son was involved in Ukraine. Anyway,
I don't think we didn't believe him. I think it just hadn't come out yet, so it would have been a...
He had the laptop, movie. And we still didn't believe him.
Yeah.
But it sounded mad, because he was showing pictures of Joe Biden's son with prostitutes smoking crack, and we didn't believe it.
Yeah. Anyway, Thursday, which is the 1st of August,
subscribe.
We've got through another month of life. If you make it to Thursday, keep going and hang in there if you're still going. It's the US.
Not bad.
We make it sound pretty bad, I fear. Maybe it's not as bad as what we make.
Never been better. Venezuela, for heaven's sake.
Well, keep going anyway. Happy first day of the month. If you get to Thursday, it's the US Democratic Party's virtual roll call to nominate Kamala Harris, or it's meant to be anyway. Just a couple of weeks before the Democrat convention on the 19th of August. I think the final vote is expected before the 7th. But as we said earlier, pretty clear on who that's going to be. Significant, though, that it's virtual. It's usually done in person, although in 2020 it was virtual because of the pandemic. But I think the decision to make it virtual now is quite controversial, isn't it? People aren't really sure why it's a virtual roll call and not in person, but that's going to start on Thursday anyway.
Lebanon Armed Forces Day on Thursday, August the 1st. Will that be the day that Lebanon's armed forces finally get it together and try and defend the people of Gaza, retake all the occupied territory from Israel under UN Security Council mandate authorization, and fight the good fight to save Gaza? It's really risky because Britain, the European Union, and the United States are pouring weaponry and 1,000-pound bombs into Israel to use on civilian populations in West Asia. It's very tricky for the armed forces of Lebanon. I think a lot of the world will be hoping the spirit of the Warsaw Uprising 80 years ago on August the 1st is within Lebanese resistance, is within those in Gaza trying to resist under the occupation, which is redolent of those in Zelensky's forces with the N patches. Of course, the Warsaw Uprising, one of the bravest Polish resistance attempts to take the city back from German occupation.
Although you mentioned that, though, can't be confused with the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising of 1943.
Oh, yeah.
Different to this, but yeah, 80 years since the 1944 Warsaw Uprising. And as regards Lebanon, obviously we hope for diplomacy. You know, no one wants a wider war, an all-out war, so we can only hope.
Although the United Nations resolutions do mandate that those under occupation have the right and duty to resist by armed means under the United Nations law.
Well, regardless, I think, you know, everyone hopes that doesn't happen. Even Lebanese officials, Israeli officials,
Are you saying that resistance mandated under international law shouldn't happen?
Well, I think that there's quite
specific... Seem very close to doing that, Millie.
It's quite specific.
Their duty is to resist illegal occupation.
I think it's specific on what that particular convention says, if you have a look.
I'll tell you who resists.
I'm sure you would agree, Afshin. People want peace. If diplomacy is the way to do that, we just want
people to stop armed resistance under the mandate of the UN Charter. I'll tell you who did resist: Cambodia, Laos, and Vietnam, and it's Victory Day on August the 1st against United States mass G, as 6 million maybe were murdered by American soldiers in Cambodia, Laos, and Vietnam. And 1927, the Nanchang Uprising on August the 1st, first significant battle between Mao, or the Communist Party of China, and the appalling Kuomintang, who would then be expelled into Taiwan.
Yeah, something that may stop all wars, who knows? The EU Artificial Intelligence Act is coming into force on Thursday, 1st of August. Finally, we mentioned this a few months back, so check out our old episodes. Now, this is pitched as the world's first comprehensive set of rules or regulations for AI, though they mostly won't apply until 2026. But a ban on AI systems that pose an unacceptable risk will come into force on February the 2nd, 2025. I wonder what they'll deem as an unacceptable risk. Possibly anything made by China or Russia, or any
wait a minute.
Countries will count as...
What is the EU talking about? The Artificial Intelligence Act. BAE Systems releases results on that day. Isn't the whole point that the European companies are using artificial intelligence for autonomous killer drones, whether in the sky or undersea or on land? And all these arms companies on the same day, BAE Systems, Rolls-Royce arms company, Apple involved in arms and weaponry, Intel chips are used in NATO forces, Shell oil, certainly fuel that is used in all these NATO weaponry. I mean, they're all publishing results, and they're intricately part of the AI future envisaged by the military-industrial complex in NATO nations. So I'm not sure what they're even talking about. How apt, though, that while the Paris Olympics goes on, in 1936, on August the 1st, Adolf Hitler opened the Olympic Games in Berlin. Arguably, that's the kind of Olympics they're having in Paris today, with Russia banned for fighting those with the N-word in Ukraine, while Ukraine are allowed.
Yeah, you do mention that, though, because Olympics is known for banning countries. I think it's happened, you know, since the Olympics began. It previously banned South Africa. It's previously banned Germany, in fact.
Since the Olympics.
Kind of anyone against, pardon?
Ancient Greece.
Or certainly since, okay, the last several years, it's not shied away from banning countries that are, you know, it's
against Washington.
Friendly with.
Against Washington policy. The Olympics are a Washington NATO attempt at using sport as a political weapon. So
yeah.
If you notice, there's no way the United States has ever been banned, despite what it did in Iraq, Libya, Afghanistan, Syria. Why is the United States allowed to compete at the Olympics under the U.S. flag and the U.S. banner? How is Britain allowed, given its illegal invasion of Iraq?
Although South Africa was banned, and because of their apartheid regime, which you champion Nelson Mandela, who fought against apartheid. So would you agree South Africa should have not been banned from the Olympics? But of course, it is a very political thing.
That was when the United States and Britain started to support the anti-apartheid struggle, because they saw it was over, because they didn't need to support apartheid anymore, because the Berlin Wall had come down, arguably. Is that not the... Not the point. Swiss National Day on EU Unemployment Statistics Day. Switzerland, a complete proxy now of the United States. It's lost its neutrality. Anyone got a Swiss Army penknife? Throw it away, I would argue.
Well,
what do you think? Switzerland.
Great advice there.
This is can I use the N-word? Guilty over January 6th sentencing at the district court in Washington. Richard Zachary Ackerman sentenced after being found guilty participation in the January 6th riots. I'm surprised they're against him at this district court in the United States. He's got a hearing at 2 p.m. on Thursday, August the 1st, because the United States is supporting the neo-N National Socialist Club people in Kiev. Surely he should be sent to Kiev with his buddy Zelensky, this man, rather than being sentenced to prison for turning the Hindu sign the other way. You see how I have to talk now for social media so I don't get banned.
Yeah. Obviously, they'd say that that's not what they're porting, and they would deny the presence of such peoples.
Who would deny what?
The US would deny, and Ukraine would deny. Anyway.
What? They're a huge flag.
I'm not talking in your riddles.
I've got photographs of the symbol on Zelensky's friend's tunics and
okay. stuff. Elsewhere on Thursday, OPEC Plus is meeting for a virtual joint ministerial monitoring committee session on Thursday, just a few days after Russia, Kazakhstan, and Iraq, I believe, announced big oil cuts to reduce their oil production by a total of over 2 million barrels per day from now until September 2025 in a bid to balance the global oil market. Don't know who this is going to impact. I'm sure the US isn't happy. Europe maybe will suffer from this. Remains to be seen. I'll see.
You don't care about the Bulgaria IPCC summit continuing. You're up for the oil.
Well, I was going to mention that on the Friday when it finishes. So shall we do the Friday?
So fast. Okay, you can. Go okay. for it.
Friday, 2nd of August, then. The IPCC. Subscribe. We did mention this last week, didn't we, Afshan? I think it started on Saturday. This is the 61st session of the IPCC hosted by Bulgaria, which is finishing on Friday. That's the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change.
No one cares. NATO countries that are all behind it are funding the wars in Gaza, in the heart of Europe, in Ukraine. They want a revolution against Maduro. They're trying to sponsor disaster in West Africa. They don't care about the environment. Why is the US Navy being sent to the South China Sea and to the Arabian Sea?
There is that. But then, interestingly, I mean, obviously, well, we do see climate in the news a lot. And when it suits, it will certainly be, you know, important, and it is. But I think at this session, a decision is going to be made on the timeline for its next cycle of reports over the rest of the decade. But apparently there's some political struggle which has been ongoing over the final wording of IPCC reports, which I think is a little alarming, because that suggests that any results it provides on the climate findings, conclusions, the sentiment is like kind of being tampered with, either played up or played down, whereas you think just giving the facts as they see them is what they would need to write. But if there's political disagreement on how they word things, that's potentially a bit worrying. I don't know how much we can trust the IPCC.
It's not the IPCC, it's the US military, the largest military on Earth, who are refusing to talk about the emissions that they make, thus skewing all the emission numbers. And the IPCC doesn't even look at US military emissions. How wonderful for Chevron, Exxon, Volkswagen, and Conoco. That's the name of the area in Syria occupied illegally by US troops. All results on Friday, the 2nd of August. And how brilliant it is that on this day in which all those oil companies associated with so many human rights abuses, Chevron denies human rights abuses, Exxon denies human rights abuses, Conoco denies human rights abuses, all of them settling out of court suits many times. Shell was the previous day infamous for their actions in the Niger Delta. How brilliant that all of that's happening on Roma Holocaust Day. That's the gypsies.
That must be a long time ago.
Roma Holocaust Memorial Day.
Oh.
Yeah, that is on the 2nd. But I think, for me, August the 2nd, and you said Meloni was in China this week, is important because it's the anniversary of the Bologna train station bombing in 1980, where now we're getting papers about Operation Gladio and how the CIA and NATO were involved in these far-right groups that blew up train stations in Italy, were responsible for infiltrating so-called left-wing groups in Europe to destroy the communist parties of Europe after 1945 as the war ended. And we still don't have the full information about that horrific, more than 200 were wounded, let alone 85 killed, in the Bologna train station bombing. And the files are still classified on what the CIA was doing. Who knows how long it'll take for the CIA files to be released about what's happening today as regards their funding for violence, the Americans, NATO countries, funding for violence. Paratroopers Day in Russia. At least there were Russian paratroopers all these years who have tried to stop those with the N-word around the world. Potsdam Conference on August the 2nd finished when Stalin, Churchill, Clement Attlee, and Harry Truman met in Potsdam, just near Berlin, to talk about the war and the administration of Germany. Germany now in deep economic trouble.
Surprisingly, you mentioned Russia Paratroopers Day. Another Russia Day. We just had their Russia Navy Day on Sunday. As I say, Russia's always got a special day, particularly when it comes to the military. Just quickly add Friday, 240 years to the day since the US signed the Declaration of Independence from Britain. And it kind of shows the tough business of a country becoming independent. Obviously, it's celebrated on the 4th of July, but actually was signed on the 2nd of August, 1776. But the actual act of signing this document, which was signed by 56 men, it wasn't pretty. I think 5 were captured and tortured by the British as a result of this. 9 died in war. Many others had their homes pillaged and burnt just for the act of trying to become independent. So it just kind of shows it's tough trying to become
independent. You really sympathize with these slave-owning US independence activists, don't you?
Well, that's not true. But interesting when you look into the history.
James Baldwin was born on August the 2nd. James Baldwin, read his books, read his poetry, read about what he says about American independence and what the United States has done for human rights since independence. He died in 1987, sadly, and the kind of human rights abuses, arguably, of the United States will be on show at the Employment Situation, U.S. Statistical Release, faking employment, unemployment statistics. So we hear from some economists, the U.S. Labor Department, U.S. officials are lying about employment because people are having to do 2 jobs, 3 jobs. People are 2 paychecks from bankruptcy in the United States. It's a poor country, a desperately, desperately poor country, the United States. If it had remained part of Britain under King Charles III, today it would be a rich country, right, Millie?
Right, if you say so. Shall we just quickly finish on the weekend then? Saturday the 3rd.
It normally finishes on the weekend. That's how you'd finish.
Just for some people who may not know.
Oh, yeah, some countries, as you said, start the week differently.
Exactly, exactly. Okay, then Saturday, 3rd of August, more marches for Palestine, as there often is on Saturday.
You're not allowed to say Palestine, are you?
I think we're...
New regulations, though. You're not allowed to say Palestine, not allowed to say Gaza, not allowed to say...
I don't think that's true. take it a bit far, but more marches... As usual, a protest in London calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. There will be many around the world. It seems not much came of Netanyahu's visit to the US Congress and to the White House last week. Was there, as we spoke about on last week's episode, we thought maybe something would happen, but nothing really other than a standing ovation in Congress.
Afraid people in Washington protesting what's happening in Gaza and US, UK, EU involvement in Gaza. Mass demonstrations not really covered properly in the NATO propaganda media. So, there was a lot of violence, wasn't there? A lot of stuff going on.
The police were
pretty heavy-handed. And there'll be again, as you said, on the August the 3rd, 12 o'clock, the London one kicks off. Or there'll be ones in Paris, in Madrid. Not that any of these democratically elected leaders... They're not really democratically elected leaders in Western Europe. They're incredibly unpopular. Keir Starmer, only just been elected, only 34% of people wanted him to be prime minister, but somehow he's prime minister. They're not democratic countries. Their media is censored, but the people are out on the streets trying desperately to convince their governments to stop funding the G in Gaza.
That's right. That's pretty much going to be... taking up most of the news, I think, on Saturday. Sunday.
Hey, you can't just skip that fast.
Come on, then.
You just have nothing for it. It's Venezuelan Flag Day. when there will be a huge celebration for Nicolás Maduro as the president of Venezuela. And what a success. I mean, it was narrow. When you think of the sanctions on Venezuela and the things that happened to him, Flag Day will be a great day in Caracas and across the country with the largest known oil reserves. And it's Independence Day of Niger on Saturday, crucial to not only MRI scanner uranium, nuclear weapons, hated French-backed, NATO-backed Mohamed Bazoum. Is he still in jail? Where is this 64-year-old and his wife, Hadiza? They've been in detention now for a year. They stole money. They were backed to the hilt by the CIA, by the French Secret Services. They're in jail. But Abdulrahman Tiani has been on TV every other day explaining to the public of Niger, now is the time for Niger's people to throw off the yoke of French colonialism, the appalling ways that the Niger currency has been manipulated by Paris. It's a great day, Independence Day, celebrating Niger's independence in 1960 from France, because it's really independent today.
Well, happy Independence Day to Venezuela. And congratulations.
No, it's Flag Day for Venezuela. Something to do with the flag. Independence Day for Niger and Black Hat USA. I don't know whether you'll be going to Las Vegas, the Mandalay Bay Convention Center. Big hacking conference. Well, hacking on behalf of the authorities conference. Black Hat USA. Kicks off on August the 3rd.
Let us know then if you're heading down there to anyone watching. Are you ready for Sunday?
No one watching right now, is it?
if anyone.
Sunday, August the 4th.
Sunday, August the 4th. Sunday, former US President Barack Obama is turning 63 on Sunday. But it's
63. All... I mean, how many people in Libya are not turning 63 because of the butcher of Libya killed so many and destroyed Africa's richest per capita country? Why is Barack Obama not in prison?
Okay,
but anyone tell me why he's not in prison for the illegal invasion of Libya that destroyed that rich country?
Okay, well, not only is he not in prison, but in the US on his birthday, it is actually considered Barack Obama Day. So it's like a double day for Obama. This day was created in 2018, and Illinois, where Obama was a senator, they commemorate this day with celebrations, festivities. And it's even a state holiday. So happy birthday to Obama and happy birthday to Illinois.
How many people did Obama kill? He embraced the U.S. drone program, hundreds of drone strikes in the poorest countries in the world, Somalia, Yemen, Pakistan, 10 times more drone strikes than under George W. Bush. You've got to remember how brutal Barack Obama was as a leader in the United States. I mean, I suppose his only saving grace was he didn't go in to Syria as the military-industrial complex wanted him to. But no one will ever forgive Barack Obama for what he did to so many poor countries, the mass murder of so many, including U.S. citizens via drone strikes. He's 63. So many others do not see their 10th birthday, 15th birthday. It's the anniversary of the second Gulf of Tonkin incident, 1964, August the 4th. What Gulf of Tonkin incidents by next week on August the 4th can we expect as regards West Asia, whether it be fake news about supposed Hezbollah attacks on Arabs, which are obviously nonsense. There'll be fake news attacks applauded in Hollywood of Bucha-type massacres in Ukraine. Gulf of Tonkin... fake news types of attacks that the United States deliberately creates an event to try and start something like in Syria with the fake chemical weapons use continues to this day. Just quick history on that. Subsequently, Naval Officer John White said, I maintain that the President Johnson, Secretary McNamara, Joint Chiefs of Staff gave false information to Congress in their report about the Gulf of Tonkin, false flag attacks. How ironic, it's the same day that champagne was reputedly invented by Dom Perignon.
Okay, very interesting.
You don't care about that one, 1693.
Interesting. I think we better leave it there if you, unless you have anything else you'd like to add for Sunday.
I think, you know, all this war talk in Japan and Blinken's touring there. In 1975, on August the 4th, the Japanese Red Army took more than 50 hostages in Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia. The U.S. consul was there, the Swedish chargé d'affaires, the gunmen win the release of five imprisoned comrades and fly them to Libya, then under Gaddafi. I think a lot of people in Southeast Asia will be looking at Blinken and Raytheon, Lloyd Austin with cancer, wandering around, telling these countries what to do and thinking their populations, just look at the population of Japan suffering a recession, they want change. The world is changing. And as Nicolás Maduro showed at the beginning of the week, change will continue.
Okay. Well, on that note, I think we better leave it there. And that's going to be our last show for a few weeks.
Where are you going, Millie?
I think I might go to Capri or somewhere, you know, like the G7. I feel like I just want to go wherever they've been.
Who is it?
Maybe I'll give myself a formal dinner and an informal one and see which I prefer.
I think you've been a bit cruel to Meloni on Forecast News, but yeah, go to Italy if you want. I suppose. I think you should go and support the Syrian tourism industry. Visit Damascus and Palmyra or Libya.
Who knows? I mean, we talk about so many great places on Forecast News. It just kind of gives you the itch to go to all those places.
Exactly, if you've got the money. Subscribe.
Subscribe. Please leave a comment.
I might be back. I might be back next week because I don't have the money to go abroad.
Okay, well, please do leave a comment on what we've discussed and also take the opportunity to look back at any old episodes to date if you haven't, and we look forward to bringing you more. But for now, we better go. Any final words, Afshin?
Let's hope when you're back, we can resume Forecast News in peace and the wars will be over. That's all we can hope for, because at the current rate, as we sign off this final edition of Forecast News of this before we come back in the winter, it looks like Armageddon is not far away.
Well, hopefully not, but we'll come back to you in a few weeks. Take care and bye for now.